Dear congregation, as sinners who are living in a world full of sin, we are by nature very much in need of rest. And our Lord Jesus Christ, who lived among us 2,000 years ago, and who even today watches down from above, who experienced even life as we have lived it, full of, at times, troubles and burdens and restlessness, he knows that we need rest. And that is why he said the words he said in our text this morning, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now we need to set the context to these words of our Lord before we can come to what he is saying to us. I read the whole chapter with you to show us that earlier in that chapter, Jesus and his disciples had gone out into the cities of the lost children of Israel. And they had preached the same gospel that we preach week in and week out here, to come and find forgiveness of sins and rest in Jesus Christ. And yet, to the grief, even to the anger of Jesus Christ, those cities, we read it, they rejected that message. They turned him away. And yet it's remarkable, isn't it, that just before our text, Jesus turns in, you might say, a contented thanksgiving, even a joyful thanksgiving for the way in which God, his heavenly Father, had seen fit to reveal himself to the babies, the spiritual nobodies, and to conceal himself from the wise. So he looks up to God in prayer and he thanks him, but then he looks upon those around him, his disciples and others, and he really sets the context for our text by teaching them that no one knows the Father except for the Son. And those whom the Son reveals the Father to. No one can see the Father and know the Father except the Son and those whom Jesus reveals him to. And Jesus, in our text, is, as we will see, about to reveal himself and so his Father. The character, the desires of his Father to those around him. And of course, as we think about this reality, this is really necessary. That when Christ reveals himself, he's revealing the will and the character of his Father. Because he says in another place, "I and my Father are one." They're one. Or in another passage, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." He hath revealed him, exegeted him before us. Or still another passage? In John 14, Philip says to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us." What was Jesus' reply? Jesus says unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" And so our text for this morning is a revelation, not only of Jesus, but of the Father. And so the question that should be on our lips at the end of verse 27, if you're looking at your Bible, should be, what is it? What is it that Christ sees fit to reveal to us of himself and so of his Father? What is it? The title and points for today really give that to us. The title is A Call to Rest in Jesus. Come unto me, first. Second, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Third, and I will give you rest. Fourth, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. First, what is it that Jesus will reveal of himself and so of his Father? It comes to us in this call to come unto me. Jesus stands there as their sovereign king, but also as their humble savior, and he commands and he invites sinners to come unto me. Now, if you've heard sermons or you've read these verses carefully before, you know something about these verses. You know that there's actually two main commands in verses 28 through 30. If you have your Bibles open, you can see them there. The first is the command to come. That's the only imperative there in that first sentence. To come unto me, verse 28. And so all of verse 28 is really the first part of what Jesus has to say to us. And that has primarily to do with, in theological terms, justification. But then there's a second command in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. A double command that goes together. And that's the second part of Jesus' words here. And that's what we'll deal with this afternoon. So two commands, to come unto him and to take his yoke upon you and learn of me. And you will get rest. And this morning we will deal just with that first one. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, children, when someone calls you, or they command you even, or they invite you to come to me, what are they saying for you to do? What does that mean to come to them? Well, you know as well as anyone here, right? You know that to come to them means to leave where you are and to go to where they are. To leave yourself there, if you will, and to come to them. And spiritually, Jesus is saying the same thing to those who would have been standing likely around him. He is telling them to turn away, to leave the sin and the darkness of their own lives and to come to him as the light of the world. And this tells us something very simple. Firstly, that we are always too far from Jesus. We are always too far from Jesus. If we're not converted, there is an infinite distance between us and the favorable presence of Jesus. You might say, children, you think about it this way, there's an infinite distance between us and the smile of God. We live in a far country, underneath the night sky of the terrible wrath of God. And if we're there, we need to be converted. We need to be born again, that we might come and live in the smile, under the smile, under the favorable presence of God. But what about if we're converted? Well, if we're converted, we are close to Jesus, aren't we, in principle? In fact, we have Him in our very hearts. And we have that sure promise that one day, where I am, Jesus says, you will be also. And yet, isn't it true that we're still so often too far from Jesus? We sing this sometimes in Psalter 159. Oh God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from Thee. Maybe you feel that way this morning. Sometimes we also sing, though, in Psalter 203, in sweet communion, Lord, with Thee, I constantly abide. What about then? Are we still too far from Jesus then? Well, yes, we are, because we're not home with Him. We're not there yet. We're still longing to be closer to Jesus. That's why in Hebrews it speaks about those who were already close to Jesus as being pilgrims and strangers in the world, looking for a better country, a heavenly city. So we're all too far from Jesus. And Jesus looks at us and He says, come unto Me. And notice, please, what He doesn't say. What He doesn't say here. He doesn't say, come unto My disciples. Or come unto the other religious experts. Or come to the synagogue. Or today it would be, come to the elders. Or come to the pastors. Or come to church. He says, come unto Me. And then notice something else. He doesn't say, come near Me, or come beside Me, or come around Me. He says, come unto Me. What a call, congregation. Do we hear what He's saying to us? He's calling us to Himself. No one else. Not just near Him, but to Him. That means something. That if we're struggling with sin, or we're struggling with burdens in life, we must never be satisfied with going to other people, or coming to church, or coming near Jesus in any other way you might think of. You must never be satisfied with asking theological questions of people, or talking about Jesus with your friends or your siblings or your parents, or even reading about Jesus in good books or in the church fathers. Those things are wonderful. They're a tremendous blessing. They're in many ways the conduit to come to Jesus. And yet, if we end there, we'll be no better than Judas, who lived with Jesus. We must come to Him. It's Jesus alone that can help us and save us and give us rest for our soul. So here's the question. What is it to come to Jesus? What is it to come to Him? And to Him alone? Children, you know, don't you, that today we can't go to Jesus physically. He's not here. He's risen. And we heard about this last week. He's ascended now into heaven, into the glorious presence of His God. So we can't come to Him physically. How do we come to Him? Well, it's remarkable, because to come to Jesus today is even easier than to go to Jesus when He was on earth. Because Jesus is everywhere by His Spirit. He's everywhere. He's here. He's in your room. He's near us at all times. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, says David? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. It's even easier today than it was when Jesus was on earth. But then the question, right? How do we come to Jesus? How did David go to Jesus long before Jesus was on earth? We sang it in Psalm 27. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, or come unto me, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And then he opened up his mouth and he began to pray and to plead with the Lord using the words of his heart. That's how he came unto Jesus. Isn't that what God says in Hosea 14? O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. And hear this, please. Take with you words. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. And so to come to Jesus is to open our mouth. To open our mouth with words from our heart and to confess our sins to God and to cry out for forgiveness from him. That is what it is to draw near to him. It's to hear him say, come unto me, and to respond and say, Lord, I'm such a sinner, but I've come here. I'm talking with you. Lord, I long for your salvation. I long for your help. I long for that divine peace and rest in my soul that only you can give. Lord, now speak to me, for your servant heareth. And then to listen. Children, you, to listen to what God has to say to us in his word. The blessed words of assurance to those who confess their sins to him. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Thy faith hath saved thee, he said to another. Go in peace. Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. There's a beautiful example in Mark 1, towards the end, of a leper who does just this. He does it, yes, coming to Jesus, but then he does exactly what we do in prayer. We read, there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him. Isn't that what we do in prayer? And saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And how does Jesus respond? And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will be thou clean. So that is what it is to come to Jesus in faith. And isn't it amazing that we can do this anywhere? We can do this in our bedrooms. We can do this in our cars. We can do this in the mountains, in the cities. The Lord is everywhere and he hears us. We can come to him and say, Lord, I'm not worthy to be called the least of thy servants. Lord, I'm actually the chief of sinners. Lord, I'm so unbelieving. But Lord, for the sake of Jesus, your well-beloved son, the one who said it is finished upon the cross, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm taking with me words and I'm returning unto you. Lord, hear me and forgive my sins. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Some people say, well, I can't do that unless the Father draws me. But isn't it wonderful that Jesus is here revealing the drawing of the Father? Luther said it so well in his day. He said, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. His word and his call enable me. There's a power in the call of Jesus to come unto me. So you think about your own lives today, right now. Is not Jesus calling you to come unto him? Isn't he drawing you by his word to come and rest in him? If he's doing that, don't resist his dealings with you. Don't strive with the Spirit and argue with the Spirit. Bend your will and come to Jesus. And Jesus, in our second point, makes this call to come so compelling. Because he says this, he says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What a word of sweet refreshment to people who are burdened down with sin. To people who find that the troubles of life, the labor of life is just too much for them. That word labor there in the original means to struggle under a burden. That word heavy laden is referring to a burden being placed on your back. And the picture together is of someone who's trying hard, but they simply can't do what they want to do or gain what they want to gain. Some of you I know went skiing this past week. I don't know if you had it this trip, but perhaps in other trips you've had it where you've gone off into the area that's not groomed and you've gotten stuck. And you've discovered that you simply can't get out of that deep snow unless you get rid of your equipment and take it off and climb out. That's something of the picture Jesus is giving here. Someone who's struggling, they're trying, but they can't get out. They can't make progress. And he's speaking first spiritually, of course, to those who are laboring and burdened down in their hearts, in their souls. In the original context, he's speaking specifically to those who had these heavy burdens placed on them by the Pharisees. Burdens of these extra biblical laws that the Pharisees laid on them to make them, if you will, more righteous. The burden of this idea that you can earn your salvation by doing something to please God. So speaking to them, but then it's also broader. He's speaking to those especially who are laboring under a heavy load of sin and guilt and shame and that burden, that condemnation of the law in their life. He's speaking to those who are trying to make things right with God on their own. He's saying, you can't do it on your own. Come to me. And then he's speaking also to those who are struggling with the effects of sin. The lepers, the blind, the lame, the poor. Just as he sees also in our church family, we've had much sickness and trouble, many of us in the last months. He sees us today, and he saw the sick in his day, and he had a great compassion upon the burdens that they were carrying in their bodies, in their hearts, in their minds. And so he looks out on us and on those people, and he says, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." And I wonder, congregation, if, although we do a good job at times of hiding this from others, if we're in this place as well, even today. Maybe you're here this morning and you look good on the outside, but you're laboring under sin. Sins of the past haunt your mind. Sins of today, you're struggling with them. Maybe sins you have committed, or maybe sins others have committed against you. Sins of your thoughts. Or of the words that come out of your mouth, or the actions you do against others. Sins of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. What a burden these can be if we're chained to them. We can be like Christian in the Slough of Despond. Children, you know that picture. He has the heavy burden on his back, doesn't he? And he's struggling. He can't make progress in his life. He begins to sink under it in despair. Maybe you're in this place today, or maybe it's not that. Maybe you're laboring under the burden of trying to find satisfaction in the things of this life alone. You're looking for contentment in things. Or in human relationships. Or maybe in experiences this side of eternity. You're laboring under that terrible burden trying to find satisfaction under the sun. Or maybe you're laboring under the burden of the consequences of your sin. The consequence of guilt, where your conscience is crying out continually. You hear it, especially when you're alone. And it says, you've sinned, you're worthy of death, you're worthy of judgment, guilt. Or maybe shame. You keep on sinning and yet you loathe yourself. Oh, you see yourself and you know you're such a sinner. You feel almost repulsed by the way in which you act, and you can't find a solution to your shame, and you sin. Or maybe it's the effect of fear. Your sin has made you fear a lot of things, especially the fact that one day you will appear before the judgment seat of the holy God. Maybe it's not that. Maybe instead you're laboring under the burden of the consequences of the sins of other people against you. Maybe like you're like Tamar, who struggled with shame, although she had committed no sin. Or like others who struggle greatly with fear in their lives because other people have committed terrible sins against them. What a burden. Maybe that's not you. Maybe you're laboring under, you might say, the physical consequences of Adam's sin, of the fall, and the curse on this world. The consequence of sickness, disease, accident, depression, anxiety, PTSD. Some people even suicidal thoughts. Others, it's constant fatigue, restlessness, dealing with friends who are struggling, constant mourning over the death of loved ones, maybe financial burdens that seem to hang around your neck like a rope, or maybe work problems or relational struggles. Whatever it is, you feel that the curse of Adam is touching you in every part of who you are. Burdens, burdens, burdens. Sometimes, congregation, really always, but sometimes we actually feel it, that these burdens are just too much to carry in life. We can't do it alone. And that's why Jesus looks at us and he says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." He doesn't say, "Come unto me, some of you who labor," as if he had a limit on how many he was willing to receive. He says, "Come, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Come one, come all," and by implication, bring all your burdens, not just some of them. Bring them all to the feet of Jesus. He can carry them. "Hast thou not heard? Hast thou not known that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? Bring them to me. Bring them to me. I will carry them for you." Now, I know this happens in people's lives. Some people look at their lives and they say, "It's impossible. I've tried for so long. You may not know, but I know it's impossible for me to change. It's my situation, my burden's too great." But what does Jesus say? And are we going to believe his word or ours? He says, "What's impossible with man is possible with God." Think of Simon Peter. Jesus comes to him and says, "Throw the net on the other side of the boat." "But Lord, I've been toiling all night long and we've caught nothing." Jesus, "Just do it." And he did it. And God gave him success. He can do it for you too. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And to those who hear the call, Jesus gives this glorious promise, this incredible word. At the end of verse 28, he says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Aren't those wonderful words? Especially if we feel the burden of our sin. Especially if we feel the burden of the effects of sin in our life. By nature, we're just like those disciples in the Sea of Galilee. in the storm. You remember, children? They're rowing and rowing and rowing, trying to get to shore on their own strength. We're just like that. We try to get out of the storms of life on our own strength. We try to get the stability. We try to get to peace, to a sense of rest in our lives. We try to do it on our own strengths. And yet it's only when we come and we lay the burdens down at Jesus' feet that we will find rest for our souls. That's why Augustine said so famously, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. So here's the question this morning. What's the burden that lies on your shoulders this morning? What are you carrying? You know it. Children, even you know it. What's lying on your... What's taking the smile off your face? What's taking the joy out of your heart? What's making the waves of your life toss and turn in the storm? Why don't you take that burden and lay it at the feet of Jesus? I can't carry it, Lord. You carry it. You do it. You're God. Please, Lord, I'm coming. Carry my burden. So often we're tempted, aren't we, to fill our days with the numbing pleasures, the numbing anesthetics of the pleasures of this world. Distract ourselves. But why don't we instead come and be honest and give our burdens to Jesus? Why would we be filled with anxious care when we can take them and leave them? Let them go at the feet of Jesus. Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. Isn't that what you want? Day by day, leaving it at the feet of Jesus. And it's beautiful, congregation, because the root of this word rest that Jesus is talking about here, it goes back to the Sabbath. The Sabbath rest. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh is the Sabbath, the rest of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. And this is what Jesus is drawing before those around him. He's saying, by nature, you are working, working, working in the covenant of works. You're trying to earn your salvation and bear your burdens by working. But Jesus is saying, stop that. Stop that. I've come. It's the Sabbath day of your soul. It's time to stop working and rest in me. Hebrews 4 verse 10 says this: He that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from him. And so Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a promise. But here's the question. How can Jesus just say that? How can he say it so definitely? So certainly, as if we would only just obey and open our mouths and pour out our burdens before him, that he would give us rest. Well, how can Jesus say that? We find that in our last point in verse 30, where he says this: For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now I realize we've jumped over verse 29 here. But verse 30, those words I just read, is structurally the conclusion of verse 28 and verse 29. How is it that Jesus can give rest to those who are laboring under sin and laboring under the trouble of this life? It's because although he was God, he had no yoke, he had no burden, he had nothing he had to carry. He came and he took upon himself in the fullness of time the form of a servant. And he took upon his shoulders the burdens on our back, the yoke upon our back of sin and of sickness and of death. And he carried that. He bore that burden with the supernatural strength of God all the way to the cross. And there, as we read in Isaiah 9, he broke the yoke on our back. In Leviticus 26, verse 13, it says, he broke the bands of our yoke and made us go upright. He broke that burden, that yoke. He removed the burden, and now it's as if we were springing upright. The load is gone. He became sin for us, Paul says, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So now he can say to every sinner today, it's finished. I've borne the burden. I've broken the yoke of sin. And now rest is available for you, free of charge. Now come to me. Come to me. And I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. We say, how? How can Jesus say that about his yoke and burden? How can we say the cross was light? And obeying the law, coming under the law of Moses all of his life as God was easy. How can he say that? He can say it because of his love for his Father and his love for us. It was heavy. Impossibly heavy. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But it's light. Because of his love for us. Because of his infinite love for his Father. Jesus says, it was for the joy that was set before me that I endured the cross and despised the shame, and now I'm set down at the right hand of God, and now I'm resting from my work. I'm resting. I'm finished. I'm done. Now you come and rest too. You come and rest too. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Doesn't that make you want to say? Doesn't it? So many people have said over the years, with the hymnist, beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way, from the burning of the noontide heat and the burden of the day. Upon the cross of Jesus, mine eye at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my stricken heart with tears, two wonders I confess, the wonders of redeeming love and my unworthiness. I take, O cross, thy shadow for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of his face. Content to let the world go by, to know no gain nor loss. My sinful self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest at the cross. Amen. Lord, we confess that by nature we are so tired and so restless in sin. But oh, that we might find peace at the foot of the cross. Lord, be with those who carry burdens this morning. Take those burdens, especially those burdens of the soul, and carry them upon thy almighty shoulders. And go with us, Lord, also as we come this afternoon to that practical application of how this peace can become experienced in our lives. Forgive our sins, Lord, of this morning also. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.